And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Tuesday with plenty to get to. Coming up, Kyrie Irving opts back in with Brooklyn. Plus, today's the day that the hearing begins with Deshaun Watson. Why, if you're a Panthers fan, even a Falcons fan, maybe you should be paying close attention. Plus, what would Baker Mayfield mean for the Panthers? Which divisions have the best quarterbacks in the NFL? Who are the best quarterbacks or will be in the SEC this year? Clayton Kershaw with some interesting comments about Freddie Freeman. The ACC changes their scheduling format. And a whole lot more to get to throughout the afternoon. Things are changing in college football. Which new coach will it benefit? We got plenty to do between now and 3. Plenty of quarterback talk today throughout the afternoon. You can join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. On Facebook at ESPN Charleston. Via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com. Or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Head over there and click on our show page where you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted right there. Or you can even take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Tuesday, Trent's on the steel wheels. Trent, what's going on? How are you?
Luke, I'm doing good on this rainy day here in the low country. Coming down, you know, I think we've been a little spoiled with the sunshine and the nice weather, and so now I guess for the rest of the week we're going to have a lot of rain. Yeah. But hey, it's not raining on our parade here, Luke. We've got a lot of talk about, pumped about some QB talk today. Are you kidding me? That's the best ever. I'm glad to be here on a beautiful Tuesday.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty nasty out there, that rain.
Yeah.
Now, you come from downtown. Downtown floods, you know, if somebody starts crying, so... Can only imagine what it was like coming. It was flooded. I live in the other direction. It was flooded driving in. Be careful out there on the roads.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the drive back into the island. Yeah, not looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's wild out there. So be careful if you're listening as you hit the roadways today, driving around for work, making deliveries, whatever it is. Be careful on the road. It's coming down in sheets. That's like movie-style rain. You ever watch a movie? Whenever it rains in movies, it's pouring, and they're running in the rain, or you're driving, and they can't see. Right? It always adds to the drama. They have to go somewhere, and oh, no, now it's pouring, and they can't see. They're trying to get to the hospital before it's too late, and they can't see through. That's what it's like out there. It is pouring. So be careful if you're driving around. I do agree. We've had some great weather, though, lately, so I guess this is the trade-off. It's finally catching up to us. And this time of year, it gets so hot that, you know, you get the – it leads to storms and rain pretty frequently. Rains every day in Florida because it's so hot and humid. Similar around here this time of year. So be careful out there on the road. Nasty day. With that, let me start with this. Kyrie Irving opting in to the Brooklyn Nets yesterday. And this was a situation where this story has been talked a lot over the past week. And I said at the time when it started that give it time. Now, let's wait until the deadline arrives and let's see what happens. And just yesterday in the show, I said that the Nets are the ones that seem to have the leverage. I don't know what was going to come from this. Kyrie Irving decides to opt in. He'll stay with Brooklyn for at least one more year. Here was Woj on SportsCenter explaining why. After all the talk, the drama, the rumors, teams interested in Kyrie, for the meantime, he's heading back to Brooklyn. Here's Woj explaining how it went down.
Kevin, simply, Kyrie Irving was not able to land either an extension with the Nets or a sign-and-trade deal elsewhere in the NBA, specifically with the Lakers, that would have allowed him to get the long-term max dollars that he wanted. And so short of following through on his threat to sign the $6 million mid-level exception with the Lakers, which he could have done if he opted out of his deal, he went back to Brooklyn on that 36.5 player option, really had exhausted all of his leverage, and returns to Brooklyn now with the possibility of free agency next summer.
I don't think he had much leverage. You know, as Kyrie makes the decision to go back to Brooklyn, that was Woj breaking it down. In the report, when we got this news originally broken by Shams yesterday, he quoted Kyrie Irving, who told The Athletic, so maybe The Athletic had it first because Kyrie spoke to them. But he said, normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. That's what Kyrie Irving said. I love Kyrie, the basketball player, but Kyrie, like the person off the floor, every time he opens his mouth, my goodness, how condescending does that sound? Normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. Yeah, it's so different to take the money, which is what Kyrie did, and is why I thought that this whole thing was being blown out of proportion to begin with. By going back to Brooklyn, Kyrie opted into his one-year deal that's worth almost $37 million. If he decided not to opt into that deal, he'd become a free agent. And the way the salary cap works, the best he could do is $6 million by signing with probably the Lakers, who seem to be the only team interested. So it's really simple. If you're Kyrie Irving, do you go back to Brooklyn and make $37 million this year? Or do you try to go somewhere else and make only $6 million? Are you willing to turn down $31 million? Kyrie has said in the past it's not about money. It seemed to be about money. Because otherwise you opt out and go to the Lakers. If you think that's a better fit for you, if you think you're going to be happier there, go ahead. But you'll be leaving $31 million on the table. And by the way, this is Kyrie Irving, who just lost his shoe contract because he spoke out against his own shoes. Again, the person of Kyrie is very puzzling. He criticized his own shoes, so Nike said, all right, forget you. We're not making shoes with you anymore. So he lost his shoe contract. He lost money last year by not playing for almost half the season because of the COVID restrictions. Now you're going to turn down after that as well, turn down $31 million. And go to the Lakers and see what happens this year before heading into free agency when, again, who knows what's going to happen. It was a clear decision. You got to go back to Brooklyn. You can't leave $31 million on the table after he's already lost quite a bit of money over the last 12 months. Even like the year prior, he just disappeared, right? Went away from the team, went AWOL, like didn't get paid for 2 weeks. He's turned down some money in recent years. He's lost money. In this case, you have to take the money. And the only way it would have worked otherwise was a sign and trade. But why would Brooklyn be willing to help him out? Especially when the Lakers would be probably the top suitor, and that would mean Brooklyn would have to take on Russell Westbrook in return. It makes no sense. I'd rather have maybe an unhappy Kyrie Irving for this year than trade for Russell Westbrook. Give me Kyrie and hope that Kevin Durant sticks around, and I imagine he will, and you move forward and hope things are better next year. The Brooklyn Nets still have the fifth best odds to win the NBA championship next year, because if you have those two guys on the roster, you at least have a chip, chair, and chance. Is this the end of it? Maybe not. Kyrie Irving said, I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall. But now that he is under contract, it does become easier to potentially move him to another team. Could he potentially make things so difficult now in the coming months that Brooklyn will say, all right, forget this. We don't even want you on the team for this next year. We are going to trade you. Maybe. I know Brian Windhorst had said that he doesn't think this is the end of it. We'll see. But in the meantime, leading up to this deadline, which was coming up tomorrow, about is he going to opt in, is he going to opt out, this was the only decision to make. You can't leave $31 million on the table when you just lost your shoe contract and you've lost money the last 2 years as well. You had to give money back for not playing. And you go from making $37 million to $6. That's a big difference. Right, the higher you go, the difference is not as grand. Just like when you talk about ages for those that are dating. You know, like when you're 25 and you're dating an 18-year-old, it looks a little weird. If you're 42 and you're dating like a 34-year-old, not as weird. Same idea with money. If you turn down like $130 million for $100, okay, not as bad. If you turn down $37 million for $6 million, that's a pretty big difference. Kyrie made the clear decision yesterday to opt in, get his money with Brooklyn. Where else are you going to go? To the Lakers for only $6 million this year? Why leave $31 million on the table? Kyrie never had much leverage. Brooklyn wasn't going to help him out, and he wasn't going to turn down $31 million. And it's why I did not really understand the fascination of covering this story 24/7 for the last few days. Wait till the deadline comes. Let's see what he does. And what he did was opt in. And we all got worked up over nothing. Is this the end of the story? We'll see. But in the meantime, this was the only decision to make. Go back to Brooklyn, and let's see if over the next 12 months everything's copacetic there. Let me shift to this. The other big story of the day is, of course, Deshaun Watson and his hearing beginning today with the NFL. Now, as I said yesterday in the show, you know, for Deshaun's defense today, I imagine it'll be a lot about whataboutism. Right? What about Dan Snyder and this guy and that guy? But you know, growing up, that never really worked with your parents either. But Johnny gets to stay up late, and what would they always say? Well, I'm not Johnny's mother, or Johnny's not my kid. If he was my kid, he wouldn't, yada, yada, yada. Right? Everybody has different rules. And just like athletes, the bigger profile you are, the more you can get away with. When you're owners of the NFL, of an NFL team, and essentially run the sport, and Goodell works for you, you can get away with a little bit more than if you're a player who's kind of embarrassing the league. But it's probably the best ploy for the NFLPA today to fight in Watson's defense, saying, look at what you let these other guys, these owners, get away with. Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, Dan Snyder. Now you're trying to drop the hammer on Deshaun. We'll see what comes from this. But I do think it's interesting that the NFL leaked what they hope the punishment will be. Right now, the decision, it's out of Roger Goodell's hands. He's not the one making the call today. They have an independent arbiter. In fact, the call probably won't come today. This may drag on still a couple more weeks, maybe days. Who knows how quickly we get an outcome. But it's not Goodell's decision, at least not yet. The decision first comes from the arbiter, which is a former judge, and then she makes the call, and then we go from there. There's an appeal process. The NFL can change things as well. But I thought it was interesting. The NFL leaked what they hope the punishment will be, and they leaked it to the USA Today the other day. And I think you could look at it from two different angles, right? The story is that the NFL hopes they would like to suspend him for at least a year. And I think you do that for one of two things. Either one, you put the pressure now on this arbiter to say, hey, this is what the league wants. They hope he's suspended for at least a year. And now maybe she feels the pressure of, oh, I was thinking more eight games. I guess that won't be enough. I better bump it up closer to a year. Maybe it's the NFL's way of trying to pressure somebody into helping them get what they want. Or the opposite. The NFL puts that out there for optics, and then they give whatever punishment they give Deshaun. Let's say it is eight games. And some football fans or some women out there or the accusers themselves are very upset and saying, how can you only give Deshaun Watson eight games? Then the NFL could come back and say, well, we wanted it to be a year, but it wasn't our decision. Roger Goodell can wipe his hands clean. Hey, we were hoping it'd be at least a year. But the arbiter made a call on only eight games. I think it's interesting that the NFL, just before the start of this appeal process, had that story leak. And I think they did so for a reason, and it may be one of those two reasons. We'll see what happens. But I think this whole thing is interesting to watch, obviously from an NFL perspective. It's a big story. Deshaun Watson is a top quarterback in the league that, if he's able to play this year, could turn the Browns into a potential Super Bowl contender. Or he could be out all year and miss his second straight season during his prime. Of course, in these parts, there's a lot of Deshaun Watson fans, or at least were before the accusations, because of his time at Clemson. But also, if you're a fan of either the Panthers or the Falcons, you want to see what that punishment may be as well. Because the Panthers face the Browns week one, the Falcons week four. I assume we're going to get some sort of suspension for Deshaun Watson, though the NFLPA reportedly is going to argue for no punishment. I imagine he'll miss at least some time. I would like to think at least four games. But if he misses week one, if you're the Panthers, you don't have to worry about facing Deshaun. Right? If he misses week four, if you're the Falcons, you don't have to worry about facing Deshaun Watson. I assume Deshaun will miss at least those four games at minimum. I do think it's probably going to be for the full year, which is another reason why, if you're a Panthers fan, maybe you should be also paying close attention. That is, if you want Baker Mayfield. Because what happens if Deshaun Watson is suspended for the entire year? Do the Browns and Baker Mayfield then somehow try to make things work so that Baker can be the guy this season before officially becoming a free agent? Here was Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL GM, on Get Up, or actually I think this was First Take, on First Take, talking about how this could be the perfect relationship if they find a way to repair things, the Browns and Baker, and let Baker stay in Cleveland for one more year. Here was Tannenbaum.
100%. And a couple months ago, I thought it was crazy, guys, to even consider that. But this is the ultimate marriage of convenience. Assuming that Deshaun Watson is going to be ineligible for a significant period of time, they have a great team. Baker Mayfield needs them because that will enhance his ability to get a big contract next year. There are no better options. And if I'm the Browns, I know it's a tough pill to swallow, but What gives us the best chance to win this year? It's a combination of Mayfield and Jacoby Brissett, who's really better as a backup. So I know it's crazy. At first, I thought there was no way this could happen. But the more you think about it, logic does the work of reason sometimes. And this is really a win-win for both Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Yeah, it's something I said weeks ago. I do think it's the best-case scenario for the two teams to try to work it out. For Baker Mayfield, it's an audition on still a pretty good team in Cleveland. And then you officially become a free agent a year from now. And if you play well enough this season, you'll have ideally plenty of suitors in the offseason. And for Cleveland, if you find a way to make this work, well, if Deshaun is suspended all year, you go back to Baker, who was just your starter the last couple years, led you to the playoffs 2 years ago. And I think that's a better option than Jacoby Brissett, who is currently the other quarterback on the roster. Problem is, it may be too far gone, right? I don't know if this relationship can be repaired, especially with the chip that's usually on the shoulder of Baker. I don't know if he can swallow that pride and go back to Cleveland. But maybe it could be the best thing for him. He could go get a starting job elsewhere, Carolina, Seattle, but neither team has as good of a roster or opportunity as what Cleveland presents. Plus, Baker, of course, has already played in Cleveland. He knows the coach, he knows the players, he knows the offense. If you go to Carolina, you're going to have a short amount of time to try to learn a new team and a new playbook. And we've seen quarterbacks struggle their first year with a new team trying to learn that stuff. We had that clip, I don't know, a month ago from Cam Newton saying that he never really grasped things in New England. That's why he was struggling that first year. He was still kind of figuring it out as he went, the playbook and the offense and the calls at the line and the guys. Right? It's difficult. When you spend your whole career, and for Baker, it's only been about 4 years, but you spend your whole career with one team doing it one way, then you have to adjust on the fly with another team. I think you'd rather just stay in Cleveland if you could swallow your pride. And for Carolina, that would take an option off the board. Here was Jacina Anderson on Fox Sports yesterday talking about Baker Mayfield and the Seahawks and the Panthers still having interest potentially in Baker. Here was Jocina's report.
Per what I reported last week and the Seahawks having a high level of interest, that is true. The Seahawks would like Baker Mayfield, right? And we saw some counter-reporting to some of the things that I was saying. Well, you know, the Seahawks stance hasn't changed and what have you. You know, the thing that I'm trying to underline is that these conversations are always ongoing, right? And the fact that this is something that I'm hearing as of last week lets you know that that high level of interest is still there. And that if things can come to terms, they would like to get it done. Now, how that ends up getting executed is what we're all waiting to see if that can happen. But the interest is there. Now, prior to the teams going on break, I was hearing from a source that, you know, as far as the Carolina Panthers, they were still looking into his background. Same thing with the Seahawks, that being Baker Mayfield. But nothing was expected at the time that people were going on vacation. So we're still vetting through this. And I think that's where we kind of bring in the Browns into this conversation. I think it behooves them to figure out what is going on with the Deshaun Watson case and to know where you stand. And that will help navigate your conversations after that. That only makes sense, right?
That was Jacina Anderson, which is why today becomes the start of maybe a few important days for a team like Carolina. You have to see what happens with Deshaun first, then you have to figure out the Baker situation. And if I'm the Browns, maybe it's too far gone, you can't fix that relationship, but if you find out in the next week or two that, yeah, Deshaun is going to miss the entire year, maybe I do come back to Baker and say, hey, how can we make this work? Because we'd rather have you be our starting quarterback as opposed to Jacoby Brissett, if it's going to be for a full year. Even if it's just 8 games, I'd probably say, okay, Brissett can handle half a year. Deshaun will take it the rest of the way. We have him under contract for a few years. We can get Baker away from the team. But a full year, a little bit different. I don't know if I want Jacoby Brissett to be my guy for a full year when you have that window with hopes of winning a Super Bowl. And those windows only stay open so long. And once you start paying Deshaun Watson that big money, you won't be able to afford some of the other pieces as well. If you're a Carolina Panther fan that's hoping the Panthers wind up with Baker Mayfield, maybe you keep a close eye to see what the punishment is on Deshaun. Maybe that affects how available Baker truly becomes for the Cleveland Browns. Which takes me to this. When we come back, how much would Baker help Carolina? And which divisions have the best quarterbacks in the NFL? What are the best divisions for quarterbacks this year in the NFL? We'll get to that next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, which divisions in the NFL have the best quarterbacks this year? We'll rank them here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Plus, how big of a difference would Baker Mayfield make for the Carolina Panthers in the NFC South? Get to that as well. As we await official word, the hearing begins today with Deshaun and the NFL. I don't know what time it starts at. I don't know if we're going to get a quick resolution to all this. It still may drag on a little while, but at least this is the theoretical beginning to the end as we get some sort of clarity on all of this. And depending on what happens with Deshaun and the punishment could impact what happens with Baker Mayfield. And if he's made available and potentially becomes a member of the Carolina Panthers still this offseason. So we'll get to that coming up in just a moment. Plenty of quarterback talk in the NFL. Speaking of quarterbacks, we also have to talk about top quarterbacks in the SEC a little bit later on as well. But you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's first go to the phones because Billy's with us. Billy, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good.
I got two different questions. One's got to do with Deshaun Watson, and one's got to do with soccer and football. I guess I'll go with the soccer and football question first.
Sure.
The question I got with that is, and the thing that I've never understood about the football school as a whole is, how come they have never been able to keep a consistent winning football team? Because they've shown that they can win up there. We've had a coach to do it before, but it's never been consistent. Is there any reason behind why it's never been consistent enough?
Yeah, that's a good question. That probably could require a little bit of a deep dive. I just think, you know, for South Carolina, they're in the toughest conference in football, of course, and I don't think they're one of the better programs. So you can sprout up and have a good year or two, or you get a coach like Steve Spurrier who can put together a good run, but it's hard to have that consistency because they're not like an Alabama or a Georgia or some of these other programs. And so it takes like that coach like a Spurrier or maybe a quarterback like a Spencer Rattler to be that difference maker, but it's hard to consistently get that type of player or coach and have that type of program year after year in the SEC.
Because even when we were an independent, even under the Morrison years, and when he was one of the, one of the best coaches we had before Spurrier even came, we still could be consistent, and we had like 8-8, and then still go back to losing records. So I don't know if it's a recruiting thing or it's just because of the school itself or what. The comment I want to make with Deshaun Watson is, I've been keeping up with it a while, and I know Wes has become close to me. I heard him call a couple of weeks ago. I know we always don't seem to agree on stuff when we call, but on this one, I got to agree with him because the thing that I really don't understand about the whole situation is, how come this, when Deshaun wanted to get out of Texas, none of this was even talked about? And the very next day, it was like a slam dunk and all this started coming out. And if you notice, like 20 out of 20-something allegations have already been settled, it's all about money. But no one has brought up anything about any crime charges or any kind of sexual assault charges or anything else. It's like he said, she said. So, I mean, you can't always believe everything you hear on the news, and sometimes it's more proportionate than you can say. And the other thing, too, is I do agree with what Trent said about a week or so ago when he had that one report where he text messaged that girl, which makes it kind of look bad. But that could be just one instance instead of 20 or some more girls after all that first started. Because he just wanted out of Texas, and then the very next day, it was like a hurricane, like the slam dunk. So I'll hang up and listen. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Appreciate it, Billy. Regardless, whether it's one or, you know, 24, I don't know if, like, once you cross that line, it's all bad. It's just a matter of how bad is it. And I would get, like, if we originally thought there was 26 and then somehow we were able to, actually it was just one case. All right, I get it that you built up this idea in your head, like, wow, this is really sick, 26 women. Oh, it's only one. Mentally, you'd have the thought, like, oh, that is a big difference. It's not as bad as I thought. But it's still bad. I mean, one is too much. One is too many. If you do something, some sort of sexual assault or harassment, or even just make somebody uncomfortable in their workplace, right? I think one is far too many. Which I thought was interesting when we played the audio last week of Amy Dash, who said, "Why are we lumping it all in one suspension? Why not give 6 games for each case, and therefore Deshaun would be suspended for 8.5 years?" I don't think that would ever happen. I don't know if the PA would ever allow that to happen. But it is an interesting point that once we get into that territory of any sort of accusations, it all kind of is bunched together. Whether it's 4 or 24, right? The punishment may still be the same in terms of how many games you think would be required. Now, we do know the NFL hopes, reportedly, that it's at least a year. I don't know if that would be the case if it was far fewer accusations. If it was only one, I don't think they would give him a year punishment. But a lot of people I do know, and maybe it's human nature, you bunch together. Like, once you did it, you know, it doesn't matter if it was four cases or 24. Like, what's done was done. And Amy Dash, I thought, had that interesting point, as unlikely as it may be, that right when you have 24 accusations, have them all be individual issues, delivering a sentence for each of the 24, if you will, when it comes to the NFL. So we'll see what happens as it gets going today. Yeah, we truly will never know what actually transpired. That's the difficulty with cases like this. It is his word versus their word, her word. They're the only people in the room. Deshaun made sure there was secrecy to the whole thing. I mean, he had some of these women sign NDAs, which I don't know. You know, I've gotten a professional massage before. I don't think I've ever showed up anywhere in my life ever with an NDA. Seems a little curious. And with all of the accusations as well. Just when there's smoke, a lot of times, not always, there's fire. But we have some odd text messages. We have the paper trail of 66, at least 66 women that Deshaun reached out to over a 17-month period. Is any of this technically illegal? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. You could get into prostitution charges, even if it was consensual sex. We had that audio from Amy Dash as well, that if it happens during the massage, it doesn't matter if it's consensual or what. You know, going back to the whole happy ending thing, doesn't matter. You're paying for a service that leads to something sexual. That is still technically illegal. It's prostitution. So we could have that whole debate. But the idea for the NFL is it doesn't have to be legal for the punishment. And so when we have this conversation now, today, last week, next week about Deshaun, I'm not talking about put him in jail and punish him. We already went through the legal process, and now we have these lawsuits. But I'm looking at it from the NFL perspective. And we've seen NFL give out punishments before when guys did not get in trouble with the law, because that's not what it requires. Just as long as you, quote-unquote, you know, embarrass the shield of the NFL. If you do something that puts yourself as an employee in a bad spot, the NFL will punish you for it. And so that's how I look at it. Even if Deshaun didn't technically do anything illegal, still, when you have this story and you have accusations and lawsuits from 24 different women, and you had to settle 20 of them, and we still have four more, and maybe others will come forward. And now, by the way, the Texans have been included. The Texans are being sued. When I have a team that's being sued because of one of the players' actions, even if it's slightly unfounded, just the fact that we have this whole situation. If I'm the NFL, I'm saying, yeah, there's got to be a – but look at what you're putting us through. You're making us look terrible. And you could say, well, Deshaun didn't do anything wrong. Well, just simply by going to 66 massage therapists in 17 months put himself in a position where if you want to believe that all these women are making up a story – I would tell you Deshaun put himself in a situation where he was vulnerable enough to have all these women make up a story about him. And so if I'm Roger Goodell, that's enough of a reason for me. As a franchise quarterback, you're supposed to be a great decision maker. If I'm the Cleveland Browns and I'm going to pay you whatever it was, $350 million, I want you to be making good decisions. And whether he was doing anything illegal or not, I don't think it's a great decision to go to 66 different massage therapists that you found on Instagram DMs over a 17-month period where, if you want to believe Deshaun's innocence in all of this, you put yourself in a position where something like this could happen in the first place. It's like the idea your parents always said, right? Nothing good happens after midnight. Even if you didn't do anything wrong, you were in an area where a buddy of yours did something wrong, and then just by association, right, it rubs off negatively on you, and your parents will say, why were you there? Or why are you hanging out with that kid? Or what are you doing after midnight? Similar here. Like, why are you going to 66 different massage therapists that they're not even technically all massage therapists? You just found these women on Instagram, and you're going to 66 different ones over a 17-month period. Do the math. It's a different one a week. If I'm the Texans, I'd be upset. Like, what are you doing? We have massage therapists here. Why are you putting yourself in this situation? We need you on the field playing games. We can't have something happen. If I had a buddy doing it who's not playing in the NFL, I said this previously in one of these conversations. If I sat at the bar and was talking with a buddy and catching up with him, and he said, like, hey, I've been messaging these girls on Instagram, and I've gone to 66 different massage therapists in the last year and a half. I'd be like, what are you doing? Why? Especially if you have a girlfriend at home. What decision-making is this? So for the NFL and for potential punishment, like, I don't even look at the legality of it all. That's even a whole other conversation. I think just simply putting yourself in this position or having this much smoke. If I'm the NFL, I'm saying, yeah, there's got to be a punishment. You're making us look bad. You're putting us in a tough spot. This is embarrassing to the league, to our franchise. The Texans are looking like enablers. There's got to be some sort of punishment to all of it. Whether he ever gets in trouble with the law or not is, to me, irrelevant. Same idea with the same examples I always cite. Ben Roethlisberger, Ezekiel Elliott, Adrian Peterson. I'm sure there's many others that I could come up with, that guys that didn't actually get in trouble with the law, but they did something enough. They put themselves in the headlines. They put themselves in a situation that wasn't great, that the NFL said, yeah, this is enough. We're gonna punish you for a little while. You made us look bad. There's got to be some sort of punishment to that. 843-721-9500. Let's go back to the phones. Tim is with us. Tim, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Luke. How are you today?
Good. What's up?
I think one of the big points Billy was trying to make, and that was something I've thought about all along since this started with him. It seems awful funny that none of this came out until Deshaun demanded he wanted a trade from the Texans because of what they were doing. They got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. They got rid of key players on that offense. And the whole organization was a dumpster fire from what I saw. The big question I had in my head was, it seemed awful convenient for this to happen at the same time. You know, he wanted a trade. He wanted out of Texas. And this attorney supposedly has a relationship with the owner of the Texans, which is a red flag to me from the start. As to, let's see what we can dig up on him so he can't go anywhere.
Yeah, I would have agreed with you originally, but I do think that now that we've gotten more information where the Texans, I mean, did they put this information out originally because we believe they were enablers? Maybe, but the Texans now were dragged into this whole thing where they're part of the lawsuit. So I don't know if they'd want to put them. I get the idea. I get the theories. I originally questioned the timing as well when it first all came out. But I just think the more information we have, I don't know how likely it is. And now that the Texans are being dragged into this, I don't know if they'd want to put themselves in that situation where they're part of these lawsuits now. And they look bad out of all this with the information we got that they were, you know, setting up Deshaun with personal rooms to get these massages. Maybe the Texans would view it's all worth it for the football side of things, but I don't think they want to put themselves in this story or get that bad publicity along with Deshaun either.
Is there a possibility they didn't think it far enough through to realize that they may be dragged into the lawsuit?
I'm sure, right? Cal McNair, who runs the team, may not be the smartest. We've heard plenty of stories about him. He may not be the smartest guy running the Texans. I just think that there's too much too much smoke here to have it all be some sort of conspiracy or that nothing was going on at all.
Well, I'm not going to say there was nothing going on. I'm just saying it just seemed awful convenient. But now, like you said, now there's been information and now they're dragging the Texans organization into it. I'm just like, oh, okay, so this kind of turned about on you. You know, it's kind of like that person that tries to think something and then it backfires. And I'm wondering if, you know, like you said, this owner is not the brightest cookie. I mean, obviously, he's smart enough to make money because I'm not going to deny that. But when it comes to this, it just, I don't know. I've just questioned this whole thing. And I'm not going to sit there and say he didn't do it. I'm not that naive to think that as nice a guy as he always seemed to be. I remember the first check he got from Houston. He gave it to the three ladies down in the kitchen or the laundry room, or they were, I forget what it was, and he split the check up and gave it three ways to them. It all kind of seems weird to me, and the way it all came about, and it all seemed, the timing just seemed, it just seemed like it was too coincidental.
Yeah, I get that. I think a lot of people feel that way. I appreciate the call, Tim. I will say this in regards to the timing, that we have knowledge of the Texans potentially being enablers, and we also have knowledge of the Texans being the ones to provide Deshaun with the NDAs that he would then take to the massage therapist. So I'll say this in regards to the timing, because we had the woman first came out when he was still playing with the Texans. Right? The accusations actually began before they really became public knowledge when Deshaun was still playing with the Texans, and a woman posted it all on Instagram. And then that's when the Texans, Deshaun, went to the security staff of the Texans, and they provided him with NDAs moving forward to avoid further accusations or issues. But when Deshaun then wants out of Houston, what I would potentially lead credence to is the idea that he then lost his security blanket. That the Texans, as long as Deshaun's their quarterback, look, you know, these NFL teams aren't always on the up and up. Texans knew about at least the accusations. Deshaun came to them after a woman posted online, and their response was, here are some NDAs to use moving forward so this doesn't happen again. And then once Deshaun no longer wants to be there, if you're the Houston Texans, you're thinking like, all right, well, what are we covering this guy for? That'd be the only thing I would lead credence to, that the Texans didn't leak this to a lawyer, didn't say like, all right, let's get back at Deshaun. But it's just that they were helping him, in a sense, we believe. They were serving as some sort of enabler, and then once Deshaun kind of ruins that relationship, it's like, all right, well, then we don't have to have your back anymore. And no longer do you have a powerful organization that's trying to help you sweep this all under the rug. As they reportedly did the first time the accusations came out during the season, that would have been, 2019? Well, whatever his last year was actually playing for the Tech. 2020, I guess that would have been. Last year he sat out, now we're 2022. So it first started during the 2020 season, and then we got all these different types of lawsuits. But we got text messages, we got apologies, we got a woman crying. There's enough here that I don't think it's just some sort of conspiracy or the Texans doing this, or that a bunch of women got together, came up with the same story, and said, we're going to get this guy. I think, A, he put himself in a position to be vulnerable like that, regardless of what may have transpired. And then, B, the timing does seem coincidental, certainly. But I think that any sort of coincidence may just be simply you kind of lost your security blanket. Texans were helping you sweep it under the rug, and then when you don't want to play for them, it's almost like, what's our motivation to continue to help you with this situation? And then things could snowball from there. The hearing begins today with Deshaun and the NFL, and we'll see what the NFL decides as a potential ruling moving forward. Oh, by the way, the other thing I did want to touch on is I do think that's part of the issue for a lot of people looking at this, is because you knew him as this great guy, as most people did around him. You never heard a bad word about Deshaun, which made this whole thing shocking. And so a lot of times, if you're a Clemson fan, even if you're not a Clemson fan, if you're just a football fan and you thought, wow, that Deshaun guy seems like a great guy, it's hard for you to then adjust in your mind that this could possibly be true. Just like when a loved one does something terrible and you think, like, how could he do it? How could my brother, mother, husband, sister, whatever? I've known them my whole life. How could they do such a thing? I never thought they had that in them. And I remember saying this at the time when these accusations came out, that any time you get a terrible news story, what do the neighbors always say? You interview the neighbor about the person living next door to them that turned out to be a serial killer, right? Oh, I never saw it coming. He was such a great guy. BTK, a serial killer, was a church leader. Everybody was shocked when that news came out. Bill Cosby, when we got that news, it was like, wow, really? Bill Cosby, he seemed like such a great guy. You never see it coming. It's never the people that you actually suspect. It's never the shady guy that lives on the corner of your street and think, like, what is that guy up to in that house? They make movies about it. People break into the house and they realize, like, hey, he's just a lonely old man. Leave him alone. But it's always the guy right next door, the family man who seems to have it all put together that actually has some skeletons in his closet. Whenever we get these news about something terrible happening and they interview a relative or neighbor, they give you the same, never saw it coming. Great guy, never had a problem with them, good father, right? Goes to church every week. It's usually the people that you don't see it coming from, which is probably why you never pick up like on the, you know, it's probably why it happens in the first place, because you're not suspicious of them doing something. So I think that's also part of the issue, that a lot of people have a hard time reprogramming their minds to see somebody in a different light. And maybe that plays into the idea of, like, no way could he have done this. I don't know, maybe he didn't. But just because he seemed like a great guy, we've seen great people do terrible things before, unfortunately. Some of them are in jail. We'll rank quarterback divisions coming up. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. This song probably works on multiple levels today. As it's raining out there, be careful on the roads. You can also apply it to probably the whole Deshaun situation. Although my problem with that song, as great of a song as it is, right? Thunder only happens when it's raining, isn't that the line? That's not true. We get thunder without rain before. Or even you'll get lightning without thunder. It's far enough away. Thunder without lightning sometimes. Come on. What is this? You get heat lightning? There's no rain on that. Sometimes it brings thunder. Anyways, in regards to Deshaun, we got a little off schedule, so we'll circle back to the quarterback talk later on and ranking divisions, because I do want to devote enough time to that. I think it's an interesting conversation to be had. We'll also talk about top quarterbacks in the SEC. Plenty of quarterback talk throughout the afternoon. We've been focusing on one quarterback in particular, in Deshaun Watson, as his hearing begins today. And I know it's still a divisive topic. In summary, like I'm writing a paper back in the day, used to give your three paragraphs, right? Your intro, your three paragraphs, and then always start the end in summary. Then you got to like high school or whatever it was, and they told you, like, that's a terrible way to write. Don't do that. Even that's how they taught you growing up, at least where I went to school. But in summary, to summarize it all, when it comes to the Deshaun situation, you can believe whatever you want. You may think that the Texans had an axe to grind. These women are conspiring against Deshaun. Maybe you think all the accusations are completely true. Maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. But as I said before, to me, it's largely irrelevant at this point when in the eyes of the NFL. And I've looked at this mostly from the NFL perspective. The legal situation, whatever. That's not necessarily a sports story. I'm not a lawyer either. I don't know all the little details. I'm just looking at it from the NFL side. That, again, whether Deshaun is guilty of what these women have accused him of or if he's as innocent as he claims. To me, if I'm the NFL, I don't care. Because of the situation you put yourself in regardless. And you may say, that's silly. How can you blame Deshaun Watson? Well, next time, don't DM strangers on Instagram to get massages that at times would lead to consensual sex while having a girlfriend at home and doing it with 66 different women over 17 months. You know, like if these women accused me, but I was truly innocent, number one, I don't know if my employer would have the same understanding. I don't know if anybody would get a raise, an upgrade, a new job with those accusations hanging over their heads like Deshaun did this offseason. Only really athletes probably benefit from that. But like if I went home and even if I was completely innocent and if my parents knew I didn't do anything wrong, still, they would bust out the wooden spoon and scream at me. Like, what are you doing messaging strangers online and meeting up with 66 different women over 17? Why are you putting yourself in that situation? That's the whole point. And that's what I would say, too, if I was Roger Goodell. Like, I don't care. At this point, what you did in those rooms, whether it's true or not, somebody else can figure that out. Roger Goodell, I'm not a lawyer. You're not in a, you know, we're not trying to put you in jail. But just simply by making the decisions to put yourself in that position wasn't very wise. And that's enough for me, if I'm the NFL, to come down with some sort of punishment. Right? If I put myself in that situation, even if I didn't do, even if these women were making up accusations about me, my parents would be sympathetic that somebody was lying about me, but they also said, why would you put yourself in that? Why would you even give them the opportunity? Why would you put yourself in that position? Wasn't very wise. And that's how I look at it, at least from the NFL. Again, that doesn't mean put them in jail. I'm not talking about the legalities of it all. But from the NFL, to me, it's enough. Enough of a situation that, there's got to be some sort of punishment handed down. And it seems like a year is a good number. And come back a year from now. But we'll see with the hearing beginning today. We'll talk plenty more about the quarterbacks throughout the afternoon because the interesting domino effect in all this could be Baker Mayfield's availability. And if the punishment is severe enough, could the Browns then come back to Baker and say, let's try to work this out? And if they do, that takes off that quarterback option off the board for Carolina. And what would that mean for the Panthers? We'll circle back to all that coming up throughout the afternoon. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery at the top of the hour as well. And also the ACC, changing their scheduling model, and I think it's a good move for them. It's something I've been clamoring for with these different conferences for a while. We'll get to that coming up, and we'll wrap up hour one. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
I'm doing great, but I'm hoping you could call me Boca Baby.
Great show. You're doing a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You've always get these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear. We like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke. And I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays, where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Just want to say,
I find you the Low Country Colin Coward. You use common sense with statistics, and you combine them, and you think outside the box.
Shout out to all the people in Charleston that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
You inspire us to listen more to your show every single day.
Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Go ahead, boy. That's how you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We still have a lot to get to throughout the afternoon. Clayton Kershaw, I thought, had some interesting comments for Freddie Freeman. Plus, we'll get back to the top quarterback divisions in the NFL, the type of impact Baker could have for the Panthers if he winds up there, the ACC making a scheduling change. What does it mean for Clemson moving forward? We'll get to all that. But before we wrap up Hour 1 today, hey, today is National Insurance Awareness Day. I come from the insurance capital of the world. That's the family business, in fact, insurance. So happy National Insurance Awareness Day. This is me making you aware that you need insurance, at least car insurance.
Stay on the good side of the Morrow Midday Show family, folks.
That's right. Or if you're on the bad side, don't worry, we can offer you some insurance as well. Make sure you're taken care of. It's also National Alaska Day.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But how about yesterday was National Bingo Day.
National Bingo Day.
Yeah. Now,
bingo.
I did not know. That's right. I did not know this history. Bingo was not always its name-o, and it wasn't always for your grandfather either. The game began as Lotto in Italy in the 1500s and was primarily for kids. The game did not arrive in the United States until the 1920s, and it was then called Bino because they used beans instead of chips. Also, did you know that Bingo is every New Yorker's right because the game is recognized in the Bill of Rights in the state's constitution for New York.
What?
They love their bingo in New York.
Look at the Italians just making everything better.
That's right. But we do. And lastly, a man from England won $9 million playing online bingo in 2012. Your bingo fun facts for the day. Yesterday was National Bingo Day. Hopefully you played. Love a good game of bingo. We'll catch up with a member of the Battery when we come back.